Our next presenter is Carolyn Lowry, and the title of her presentation is Root Morphological Plasticity in Maize and Its Influence on N Uptake from Patchy Resources.
So I had a little bit of a title change, so I'm going to be talking about maize root morphological plasticity and how that varies with architectural traits. So root foraging describes the plastic responses utilized by roots to find and exploit soil resources. And root plasticity is really important because resources in the soil, such as mineral nutrients, are heterogeneously distributed. So if you think about this in the context of an agricultural system, prior to planting your cash crop, you may till in or incorporate the crop residues from a previous crop or cover crop. And each of those pieces of plant residue is going to decompose and become a resource patch. So plants have evolved a number of different mechanisms by which to exploit soil heterogeneity. I'm going to be talking about two categories today. The first is plasticity and root system architecture, which really describes the shape and the distribution and the branching pattern of the root system. And it includes traits such as the number, angle, and length of the axial and lateral roots. Now, the axial roots are the main root axes that emerge from the plant, and then the lateral roots come off the axial roots. So I'm going to be talking more about those later. So in a low input or an organic system where much of your nitrogen may be coming from decomposing crop residues, it may be good to have a more topsoil-oriented root architecture. However, if soil nitrogen is low in the topsoil, or if you expect nitrogen leaching, a more deeply oriented root system may be beneficial. Now, the second category of plasticity that I'm going to be talking about is morphological plasticity. And morphological plasticity is a much more localized response and describes how roots proliferate both their number and length of lateral roots within resource patches in the soil. So thus far, there's been a lot of research characterizing the effect of root architecture and root architectural plasticity on nitrogen uptake in maize. And while in natural systems, there's been a lot of work looking at interspecific variation in morphological plasticity and the importance that it plays in below-ground competition, so far there's been little work characterizing intraspecific variation in morphological plasticity, as well as the relationship between architecture and morphological plasticity, and whether or not there's trade-offs or synergies into how these traits interact, and the effects that might have in resource uptake, productivity, or below-ground competition, which is where my long-term interests lie. So the two research questions I'm going to be talking about today is, to what extent does intraspecific variation exist in morphological plasticity exhibited by maize in response to nutrient patches? And do root architectural traits predict root morphological plasticity? So when I was really interested in looking for variation in morphological plasticity, I didn't know where to start because no one had done that yet. And there's been a lot of work looking at the IBM population, which is the recombinant inbred lines that are the result of a cross between B73 and MO17. And in Jonathan Lynch's lab at Penn State, they had done a lot of work showing a considerable amount of variation in root system architecture within this IBM population. So I thought that this would be a good place to start in looking for morphological plasticity and to see what the relationships are between root architecture and architecture plasticity with morphological plasticity. So to conduct this experiment, we built rhizoboxes, which are two acrylic sheets that are separated by only a 0.6 centimeter spacer. So essentially, we're forcing the roots to grow in a two-dimensional plane. And we have one clear and one black acrylic sheet. We filled them with a 60-40 ratio of topsoil sand. And to create the resource patch, which is right here, I use a gram of ground legume with hairy vetch residue mixed with soil sand mixture, and then the control patch. The control patch was just the soil sand mixture. There we go. Okay. So the boxes were set at a 35-degree angle with the clear side down to force the roots to grow along the clear acrylic sheet so that I could see the roots. We had 6 blocks, and we terminated the maze at the 4th leaf stage. We collected root images and shoot height weekly, and I traced the roots using SmartRoot, which is a plugin for ImageJ. And then we use that to collect root counts, length, and angle. And then we also collected root and shoot biomass. So morphological plasticity was measured as the ratio of root length within the resource patch divided by root length within the control patch. So moving into the results, we found considerable variation in the recombinant inbred lines in the IBM population with their morphological plasticity. And what I expected to find going into this experiment was that as the number of lateral roots increased, we would see an increase in this morphological plasticity because of the fact that it's a proliferation of lateral roots. However, I found the opposite trend, that as the total number of laterals increased, the morphological plasticity decreased. And what may be happening is that the lines that had just many total number of laterals had less energy to expend to lateral root production within a nutrient patch. And I also saw the same relationship with axial root number and morphological plasticity. So as the number of axial roots increased, morphological plasticity decreased. But we also saw that as axial root number decreased, we saw an increase in shoot dry weight, which may suggest that there's a trade-off between these two root traits. And so the next thing I wanted to look at was how root angles might affect morphological plasticity. And I wanted to know how spread out the root system was, how that might relate to this trait. And so I measured what I'm calling root angle dispersion, which is just the standard deviation of the root angles for the roots in any one single plant. And so the lower the standard deviation, the less dispersed they are, so the more tightly the roots are going to be, and then the higher standard deviation, the more dispersed those roots are going to be. And so what we found is this U-shaped curve, or a quadratic curve. And so initially, we see a decreasing trend with root angle dispersion and morphological plasticity, at which point we see a sharp increase. And so we were wondering, is that because each of the different lines are responding differently between the relationship and angle dispersion and morphological plasticity? And yeah, we saw that some lines had, as angle dispersion increased, they saw a decrease in morphological plasticity, while some saw the opposite, and some saw no relationship at all. But then one thing that we noticed was that there was considerable variability in any one genotype in the angle dispersion that they exhibited. And so I asked the question, does the ability of a single line to vary its root angle dispersion, how does that relate to morphological plasticity? And so we saw this really tight increase. So as the intragenotypic variability in individuals of any one line, as that increased, as the variability increased in root angle dispersion, we saw an increase in morphological plasticity. And so when I saw this, I was really excited because I was like, well, essentially what we're saying here is that when one trait, when plasticity in one trait increases, we see a plasticity in another trait. And so I thought that this could have really strong implications for developing crops that are more plastic and more able to adapt to their environment. And so I was really excited about this, and so then I asked, well, okay, does plasticity between individuals in a line in lateral root number, does that also relate to morphological plasticity? And unfortunately, we saw no relationship between intergenotypic variability in that trait. So more work is going to need to be done to understand how plasticity in various root traits, how that varies in how they vary with each other. So the next question I asked is, does morphological plasticity increase plant productivity? And while we saw no trend in the relationship between morphological plasticity and shoot biomass, we did see a decrease in root-to-shoot ratio as morphological plasticity increased. So this suggests that there might be more a change in allocation pattern of the plant as morphological plasticity increases, and it might be able to expend more energy to shoot growth compared to root growth. So in summary, I found that as the number of laterals and the number of axial roots increased, we saw a decrease in morphological plasticity. And as intragenotypic variability in axial root dispersion, as that increased, we also saw an increase in morphological plasticity. And while morphological plasticity had no direct effect on shoot biomass, we did see that it decreased root-to-shoot ratio, and as root-to-shoot ratio decreases, we see, as root-to-shoot ratio decreases, we see a decrease in shoot biomass. And then we also found that as the number of axial roots increased, shoot biomass increased. So future work is going to examine how root foraging with both architectural and morphological plasticity will influence resource uptake. And after that, we're going to be looking at how that influences below-ground competition, because previous work has shown that both of these traits are very important for how plants can compete for resources below ground. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge my funding sources, and many people have given me help with this project. I'll take questions. Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know what the root angle inside the rhizoboxes was. We covered them with tinfoil to try to keep the boxes cooler. And we have temperature in the greenhouse, but I did not have temperature sensors in the boxes. But we did try to keep it cool because they can get pretty hot. So yeah, so everybody asks me that. Like, it's always the first question that I get. And I feel like that's something I'm interested in looking at later on, but I did not look about it in this experiment, but I'm sure it plays a very important role. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone else is measuring the nutrient availability in the patches versus the control. I haven't gotten that data yet, but we are looking at that. I don't have the specific root length data now, but it's something that I can get. So I'll be looking at that in the future. Definitely. Yeah, I'm sure it has an effect. I mean, we treated them all the same and we saw differences, but I'm sure forcing the roots to grow in a two-dimensional plane has effect on the architecture. The reason why we're using the rhizoboxes is because we were trying to get the best information now to use in the competition experiment. And part of the problem with below-ground competition studies is that it's hard to identify roots to species. And so we're hoping with these two-dimensional rhizoboxes we'll be able to trace the roots back to their owner and identify which roots go to which plant. And so while I'm sure that the forcing the roots to grow in an almost two-dimensional plane had an effect, it was just the way that we could best get the information that we needed to continue on with our research.